Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome especially our live stream audience. You're in the chapel with us at Hope Chapel. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. And what a thrill. I'm grateful how our wonderful tech team and media team makes you feel like you're a part of us, but nothing like being in person. But we certainly look forward to that time. We realize some of you from great distances are with us this morning. And when Pastor Sean leads us in those quiet times, let the Lord speak to you, assist you, even you who are here in the chapel. Boy, how many know our days, our activities are so busy, many times we'll just, well, when I get to it, I'll let the Lord speak to me about some things. But this is that occasion. And often, we'll even pause because we are a charismatic Pentecostal group. We rely upon the gifts of the Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit can speak a word to us in 5 minutes that a 50-minute lesson really couldn't quite get a hold of. So you just trust how the Lord will speak to you. Discipline yourself to hear His voice. Just never know. We take a pause and say, who has maybe that word? It's not just for you only, but it's for your faith family, for your faith family. You who are joining us online, please consider if you're on our website, watching us online, maybe Facebook, friend sharing. It's always nice to kind of interact, say, boy, I feel like the Lord's sharing this reality to me. Those are helpful times, how the Holy Spirit does just that. Well, with that in mind, you know that today is 9/11. 21 years ago, a big event happened in our nation. 21 years ago, some of you weren't even born yet. So you have to actually Google to find out what is 9/11. And so that's important. It's an unusual thing for so many of us. We kind of know where we were when we saw our nation under attack. People who do not like America, who do not like Americans, were attempting to dissolve this nation. You know, evil's still trying to do that. But aren't we grateful to God, 21 years later, we have a liberty, we have not been attacked. We really want to thank the Lord. The prayers of the Church of Jesus have been praying for protection. We're grateful for our military, grateful for our nation's leaders that took action, and now we're out there helping other nations from tyranny. Yes. But there are people that really lost family members, really lost lives. And that's an important thing, that we take a moment of silence to just commemorate and give our respect, because there are still family members who are really struggling. And some who served there on that season or continue to rebuild New York City, who are suffering even physically. But let's take a moment now. If you don't mind and would be able to stand, would you take a moment and stand, please, while we take this moment of silence? Please join us right in the comfort of your setting as well. Here we go. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Just before you're seated, it also happens to be Grandparents' Day. And if you happen, you all look, we got a moderately young group here. But if you happen to be a grandparent today, I'm going to invite you to please remain standing. The rest of you may be seated. We want to acknowledge our grandparents this morning. And if you maybe cannot stand, you can raise your hand. Or you who are there in the comfort of your setting, I'm sure with your legs up, go ahead and raise your hand as well. But we want to just acknowledge our gratitude. And as a pastor, I thank God for the legacy that godly, influential men and women provide, not just for our faith family, but really for our community at large. I want to commission you once again, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And Deuteronomy 4, 9 talks about how that God says, you hang on to these commandments of mine and teach them to your children and teach them to your grandchildren, that they know how to reverence me. One of the best and greatest possession you can give your children is your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. For them to know that dear mom, dear dad, dear grandpa, dear grandmother had a faith in God is so significant for them to know that. And I want to commission you to make sure that you do everything you can not to pour it into them, but just model it. Be the real deal. Because we have a whole generation coming on that will not see things unless you demonstrate and then with great love share your faith in Jesus Christ. God will use that. God will use that. So, Lord, use these dear ones that are standing. Thank you for the emphasis that you're making now in the next generation. And bless our grandparents in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's give them an applause, shall we? We're so grateful. Thank you. We're about ready to get into our message today, but I want to highlight, too, how many know we're a mission-sending church. We send out people to go into other nations. We're so grateful, are we not? Yes. We were just at Jesus' house on Friday. Thank you for Pastor Noelani and Ed Jai. Ainsley and I gave tribute to them and honored their church, their fourth anniversary. On the 9th of September, that church was launched. They, in turn, actually recognized Hope Chapel and gave us $400 for our next church plant. Every year they do this. They add $100 per year. But 4 years, that church has been up and flourishing. And I'm so proud of all of them. And they want to thank you for that as well. Well, every now and then you have a missionary that's sent to America from another nation. Can you believe it? Do we need missionaries here? Everybody say, yes, we do. And a young lady has come to us and have been a very active part of Hope Chapel. She serves in Surfing the Nation, and her name is Laura Hamilton. Laura Hamilton's come from Germany, but you wouldn't tell us. She totally looks HB, doesn't she?
Yes.
But something of a real honor for us. She has her mother here from Germany, and her name is Gabby. And Laura, would you stand with your mother? And we want to welcome your mother here today. Thank you, Gabby. Let's take our Bibles in hand, shall we do that? And you who are visiting Hope Chapel, make sure you get a bulletin today. We call it our card. And if you're needing to know about things at Hope Chapel, the QR code, sign up, be a part of our newsletter. And also, we need to get geared up because not this week, next week starts life groups. So start taking notes because we want you in a life group. Please be in a life group. Life really happens in small groups. And next Sunday, we're going to be launching those life group leaders. You'll see them. Next Sunday is going to be a wonderful service Sunday. We're going to have our missions director share about the church sending a group for the loft house build. And then we're even going to be commissioning some new associate chaplains. And so I'm so proud of Chaplain Doreen Matsumoto, who has a wonderful group to display and present to you. All that's happening next Sunday. It's going to fit perfectly into my message. But today we have a new series we want to start. And that series is entitled Messy to Manageable. That's the message today. Heading into that, everything we're going to be taking a look at, because you and I know that life is not perfect. Things don't happen the way we want them to happen. We're going to be looking at segments in society with which we could say, man, that's just a messy group, and that's just a messy happening. But God's going to help us to put it in a manageable tone. Today, message, we're going to start with part one, and that is relationships can be messy. Relationships can be messy. We're going to be looking at that. Now, that reminded me of a cute story, how that a little girl went up to her mother and said, Mom, how did the human race begin? She said, oh, honey, God made Adam and Eve, and then they had children, and then so forth and so on, and here we are today. So she said, well, that's good. Later, she asked Dad, Dad, how did the human race begin? And he said, oh, well, started with a monkey, and then over a long period of time, it became more of a person, and here we are today. So she was confused, went back to Mom, Dad said that we came from monkeys. You said God made us. Oh, honey, that's easy to explain. I was telling you my side of the family. He was telling you his side of the family. Must be a little bit of a rub in that relationship. So when we take a look here today, we're dealing with relationships. And that fairy tale that's out there, that myth, really, that relationships, all it takes is just tie the knot or just find good friends, and it'll be happy ever after. Listen, that's not really true. I'm sorry about that. There are times I will sit with people who are doing premarital counseling, and I'll let them know that true love happens long after the wedding ceremony, not before. Not before. I mean, we put on the best we can prior to the wedding day. I mean, we're combing our hair, we're, you know, washing under our arms. Come on, we're even ironing maybe a shirt or two. But then after the wedding, it seems like everything unravels. Now, it's important for, like, our marriage, Ainsley's and mine, over 40 years, you can imagine, I thought I knew what I was doing when I told her I loved her, I'm going to marry you. But I'm telling you, 40 years after that, going through child rearing, struggling with bills, uncertain sicknesses, dealing with issues, just going at it with undetermined determination of fisticuffs. Now when I tell her I love her, it has so much more weightiness behind it. See, I really thought I knew what I was doing prior to. But now when I say something like that, there's impact and meaning and depth. And there's something about relationships, too, that we need to realize. I don't know when you discovered that people dealing with any kind of relationships is really messy. Any kind. I remember in first grade riding my bike, and the kids were throwing rocks at me. Oh! I remember second grade. The older kids wouldn't let me go on the little merry-go-round. Oh, man! I remember third grade when all of a sudden my friend Steve took my other friend Kevin, said, "Hey, Kevin, I've got something really good to play," and they ran off together and left me. Oh! I mean, we all have those things that we still remember, and we just like, what? And it still comes back to you. I do. I just shared them with you. Now, but one of the greatest gifts we have is really relationship with people. But it takes work. It really takes determination. But relationships can be messy. It's an important ingredient that we're taking a look at today. So how do we follow Jesus? Because I'm believing I'm talking to Christians here. Because other than that, you're just dealing with a mass of humanity that really is going to be one struggle after another. But today could be your breakout day. And let's take a look at some truths here, according to the Word. Number one on your notes, why relationships are messy. Probably obvious, but it's sure helpful to see and to see the Word of God speak to us. So Lord, open our hearts to your Word. Open our understanding, because lives matter to you, or else you wouldn't have sent Jesus. So Lord, let us see some things that are going to transform into real good relationships. Healthy relate in Jesus' name. Amen. Letter A, we are all broken people. That's the first little subnote. We are all broken people. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we'll have that up there. But if you have another translation, man, mark it up, put it in your Bible, make notes, take a look at these things. But it says here in verse 9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And desperately wicked, who really knows how bad it is? Who really knows? Now, that's not a very flattering assessment of the human heart, but it's a good one for us to recognize and remind ourselves, because that kind of fallenness that each human being, that kind of sinfulness, each human being, that kind of brokenness on the inside of each human being, that invades relationships. Every relationship. It doesn't take much time for things to start to materialize, and it shows up by way of anger or mean words or areas of gossip or slander or maybe mean social media posts, avoidance, getting even, possibility of insecurity. It just impacts us. That's what happens to those relationships. I mean, think that you would never have that in any relationship is setting you up for even more messiness. You've got to remember you're dealing with people that are broken, and it's important. My heart is deceitful, Scripture says. And I wish it wouldn't kind of materialize, but it does. I really work pretty hard on things. I mean, for example, here I am. I'm helping with putting the dishes into the dishwasher. When lo and behold, my sweet little wife comes along and with a little bit of a scowl on her face say, "That's not the way to do it." Whoa. Did I marry that person? And I want to just say, "Well, then do it yourself," and walk away. And I've kind of done that a few times. I'm exempt. But it's amazing how those things kind of come on in. So why are there a messiness in relationships? Letter B, we have unrealistic expectations. You're thinking it's going to be A-okay, but check out what Scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults. It can't be more clear than that. Why would God come straight out and say that? Because he knows. Make allowance, Scripture says, for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone means what? Anyone. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. No, why would God actually say make allowance? Because, again, he knows in our relationships there's going to be mistakes. I think people don't intentionally blow it. Some do, and you realize, oh, that's okay, boundaries are going to be set there. But in the area where people come along, we make relational even messier when we don't make allowance. We set people up and saying, "I expect perfection from you. And if you don't perform according to my expectation," how many know? Now you start to see things start to clutter, and that demand for perfection. We reject people. Should never be that way. God's word, make allowances for people's faults. They're out there, those faults, that is. People, they are out there too with faults. Make allowances. But to expect perfection, it's like being a fisherman and expecting to catch a fish every time. If you've ever been out there fishing and you don't catch a fish, it's kind of a lousy day. You may have gotten off of work, but that's about it. So it's important that we take a look at that, not to be used to as an excuse for just people's faults, but it is important. Be careful. Letter C, why is there messiness in relationships? We perceive our brokenness as less than others. That'll set things up as a real barrier. But look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. It says so clearly, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own?" Now, we've seen that verse before, but it is important for us to recognize the reason why we judge people is because our issues look like a little speck compared to the boatload of garbage on their raft. And it's important we take a look and understand, because we don't understand our own brokenness. Maybe that's the message today for some of us. We don't understand how really broken up we are, and we haven't let the Lord heal us the way he can do. So I know I may have issues, we think, but your issues are far greater. And let me help you. Be careful about that. People love to categorize sin, don't we? Have you ever just seen that? They just categorize that. It's the dirty dozen. It's the nasty nine. It's the deadly, unforgivable sins, the seven of them. And we come along and say, well, I know I have some faults, but I'm not as bad as that person. And it really elevates ourselves. Boy, that's going to really mess up that relationship, be it friends, family, you name it. So God sees. How does he see? How does he see each of our brokenness? I like Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Let me just throw it up there. It says, there's no one righteous, not even one. So it's helpful to realize, as good as I think I am in comparison with somebody else, there is no comparison. God sees us all as broken. And God doesn't see in degrees of brokenness. He just sees us as sinful people that are broken. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. If we could make ourselves more right and righteous, then Jesus would not have had to come and die. I'm so glad he did, aren't you? So we're just as broken as the alcoholic or the drug addict, just as broken as those who are going as adulterers, just as broken as those that maybe somehow might be convicted of something. We're just as broken. And that's the way the scripture rolls that out. So again, reason why we judge, we just don't see our own brokenness as that severe. But I think it's important for us to recognize we really do need to be more compassionate toward others. Let's look at letter D. We are threatened by diverse opinions. Again, why is there a missingness in a relationship? Well, can't listen to somebody if they're sharing a different opinion. Boy, we have such a polarized society today. It's like people will not become friends unless you agree with the way I think about something. And whenever you turn tail in a different direction, I'm going to disassociate with you. Now, it's important we listen to people. But you say, well, how's that happening today? Here's a case in point. The vaccine. How divisive was that? People would say one thing or the other. You're sick? Hey, did you get vaccinated? So we could just see where those things cause such a problem. And I don't think it's remedied in our society yet. People are not willing to listen to another person's opinion and or advice. And really, advice is really going after somebody else who thinks differently than you. It's really kind of interesting to agree to disagree agreeably or to just be friends that you know you come from different angles on a topic is really kind of healthy. I actually learn more from people who disagree with me. I don't even agree with myself sometimes. Like, yeah, you're right. Paul, you stink on that subject. What? Oh, it's a good thing I brought it up. They helped me land on a better perspective. But look at Proverbs. I like what Proverbs has to say about how we need to be open for people's advice or decision. Proverbs 13:10 says this, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Then also, Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Man, it's just good advice. And then Proverbs 19, verse 20, says this. It says, get all the advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life. Now, who wouldn't want that? Just nice. I sure like hanging out with people that love Jesus and are walking with him. Since we're not perfect, at least you know that their heart is in a genuine way. They won't become a conflict if somehow I don't accept their approach. People can be quite hurt when you might not accept their advice. So with things coming on like they are, you know, just kind of share and let the Holy Spirit work in that regard. So it's going to be important for us, isn't it? But it does grieve my heart how that many people are relationally rejecting others as soon as they discover that they have a different view than they do. So I think that person's going to end up being a lonely person in their life. I know a number of people who are quite lonely. And how did they get to that way? They just refused everybody that does not see things the way they see it. And so they distanced themselves. And there's going to come a time you can't even blame it on the pandemic. Well, I'm just still isolating. No, no, you're isolating because of something else. So come clean, and sometimes just get back with humanity. Get back with people. All right, letter E. Why is there messiness? We underestimate the amount of work good relationships take. It does take, but I like what Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says. Check it out. Hard work. We'll just bring that. Look at that. Hard work to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. It's going to take some real work, is it not? The greatest results of yours and my salvation, what is a result of you being saved, is that you start to have healthy relationships in your life. People want to start hanging out with you. That's an amazing result of you being born again. People start coming back and hanging around you. They might even dial you up and say, how's it going? There's an important thing. People say, well, what is going to be a telltale sign that I'm going to church, or that I gave my offering today, or that I'm actually serving or went on a missions trip? No, 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 no. It's going to be when you stand before Jesus, he's really going to want to see, did you really love others? Like I asked, the second commandment. It's an interesting, that's the great commandment. Relational command was it, isn't it? Love your neighbor. Isn't it amazing how when Jesus was praying prior to going to the cross, oh, Father, help them to be united, to be one like you, Father, and I are one. That's a great prayer. It's an amazing thing. Greatest testimony about the world saying, man, you are a Christian. Remember when Jesus said that? That the world will know, John 14:30, the world will know that you are my followers by your love for one another. An amazing thing. This relational element, so important. So we want to see the results of our salvation. First place we're going to need to see it, begin all of a sudden. Those relationships that were shattered, that were frantic, that were dissolved. Somehow, there's a change going on. And people come together. It's pretty amazing. We have a number of you and your family now who have given their lives to Jesus, who have been water baptized, even spirit-filled, because you were so transformed through Jesus that they knew something changed and that hostilities left. And they said, maybe there's something real about Jesus. Amen. Not about church attendance. Not about everybody goes to church sometime in their life, somewhere. But it's all about relational transformation. Boy, that's a testimony. But it takes a tremendous amount of work in those relationships. Every relationship is a gift from God. But to think you don't have to work at it, that is a wrong perspective. And you're just now adding to the mess of that relationship. Well, number two, how do we follow Jesus through the relational mess? It's a great question. And here's some things that are just more of a how about it? Let's remind ourselves here. Letter A, be profoundly aware of your own brokenness. We've discussed that, but I'm talking where you remind yourself of those inconsistencies in your own life. It sure helps me to be a little more patient with others. But let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Hey, you at home, I'm actually in the epistle. 1 John's the epistle, closer to the book of Revelation. And not the gospel. Remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That's the gospel. But 1 John 1:8 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Have you ever seen a Christian deceive themselves? This is one way. This is one way where you literally cannot talk to a born-again Christian because they really feel like they have not done anything wrong. And they are not wrong in any setting. It's self-deception. It's pretty scary, actually. I met a guy a while back, and he said, yeah, Paul, I'm pretty good. I don't think Christians sin anymore. Well, when was the last time you prayed like the Lord's Prayer, forgive me of my debt? I think I really confessed that sin in 1978. Man, get back. So when we take a look here, foundation of all of our relationships really is predicated on, do we know how broken we ourselves are? You cannot have a relationship with Almighty God without real life. You can't have a relationship with anyone in your life unless you realize how broken you are. You and I came to Christ because we knew we needed a Savior, and He just wasn't the entrance level to church membership. We knew we have stuff, and only God could remedy that. So it's important for us, once again, needing to see ourselves the way God sees us. So when we are in denial of this, we say things to others like, "How could you do that?" Or, "I just can't understand how somebody could do something like that." Now, I would say that when I was younger. But because now I'm a little more mature and have been caught in the same stuff, I stop. I don't say that anymore. I'm very aware of my own fallenness and frailties. It's important for us. And I know you're concerned about that as well, that approach. But we have so much more grace to give to others, don't we? When we realize God gives us so much grace. He loves us so. He loves us so. Man, if God's going to give me that much grace, I want to give that kind of grace to others as well. Letter B, daily ask God to enlarge your capacity to love people. Daily enlarge it. Let's look again, still 1 John, but let's go to chapter 4. And verse 12 says, "No one has seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us." Now, there's something about love, true love, that actually multiplies when we exercise love to someone. It never gets jealous, never jealous. You can't say, "Well, I love this person, but I better stop loving this person because I know I need to now love this person." The more you love, the more that genuine God love actually expands. It's an incredible ingredient. You check it out, especially when you feel like, "I don't have the capacity to love. I'm trying to focus in on my own family right here." Man, why don't you break out just a little bit? Watch how love grows. It's an incredible element. God's love does just that. Remember the Christmas story about the Grinch that stole Christmas? Well, how he was so mean and vindictive. And then all of a sudden a transformation took place. What happened? Huh? Remember that little pea-picking heart? Yeah. Started to grow and burst out. And his heart now had a capacity to love. That is so good. Isn't it good? Man, Dr. Seuss has it going on. Honey? That's why he's called doctor. It's important that we get a chance to consider that about having a capacity. Love actually expands. That's why it says brought to full expression in us. Full expression. When we start to love others. We certainly spend a lot of time loving ourselves. Man, get outside that box and enjoy it. So letter C, develop relational amnesia. Now, amnesia is you intentionally forget, right? Some of you don't know you forgot, but this one, you're intentionally forgetting. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, literally says, "Love keeps no record of wrongs." Just check that out. No record of wrongs. That's important for us. Simply means we choose not to really hold a record about somebody's wrongs or mistakes or letdowns. We don't choose to keep track of that. Some people do. Some people do, like they take hold of their tax receipts and they've got this expansion file system of everything that somebody else has done. Love doesn't hold one of those expansion files. You don't do that. You don't hold on to say, "Hey, I'm going to go to my little file. I'm going to pull it out how you bailed on me 16 years ago." Be careful about that. We choose not to mentally dwell on past issues or offenses. It's important because God bases really so much of our own activity, how we treat others. We saw that. So what about unsafe people? I just want to highlight that for a moment. What about unsafe. And I'm not saying we don't have boundaries or excuse bad behavior. There are some very unhealthy people out there. There are some very unsafe people out there. And that's for a whole nother subject. Maybe we'll catch that one day. But we're talking about making sure that you burn your box of relational receipts that you can't wait to pull out when the time's right and you finally got them to listen on the phone. Don't do it. Don't do it. Letter D, commit your life to what love really is. I sure like that. Let's check it out here, because love is such a confused, overused, and abused word in our language today. But in the kingdom of God, if you're in the kingdom, and you are, it is such a powerful word. Love is a powerful word. And when you remind another person how you love them or God loves them, I'm telling you, it melts through things that really has made a person so hard. But check out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I like to say this is a good, really, biography of Jesus. This is what really the Greek word agape love is all about. I was not born with this love that we're going to read about. You weren't either. So it's got to be something that's supernatural. Yes, sir. This is not human love. Our love's conditional. That's why it's like, man, how do we arrive at what Pastor Paul's trying to tell us? It's got to be something of God in us. But look here. It says in verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the good. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's incredible. When we take a look at that, so powerful. Every follower of Jesus needs to have this as their definition of love. Say, Lord, am I at that plateau? Am I even in that area? Take a look. Is this the way, or am I adding to the messiness of the relationships in my life? Because there are some missing ingredients to this definition of God's love. Well, where do we go? Letter E, depend on Jesus. Really, the Holy Spirit, not yourself. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Not yourself. I think one of the beautiful things about people these days that we're finding in our darkened society is Christians are finding the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means we know we have the Holy Spirit when we got born again, but really, Lord, I need the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. I need ability to pray in the Spirit, which means pray in another language. There's something about the Holy Spirit when it comes upon a person. I find there's a greater capacity to love. And it says that in Romans 5:5, especially in the New King James. I based my pursuit of walking with people on that. But the New King James says, now may the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit come. How could I love somebody like we just read, except the Holy Spirit give me parts of the very nature of the Godhead? There's no way. There's no way. We need the Holy Spirit. People say, well, how do you know, Pastor Paul, people are Spirit-filled? Do they move in maybe speaking in tongues? Do they move in prophecy? I think it's love. Love. Their ability to have compassion and love people. You know, you can be Spirit-filled once, but not Spirit-full continually. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, don't go getting all drunk with wine where there is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know alcohol is a counterfeit to the effects of the Holy Spirit? So many of us, remember that? I mean, that feeling a little easy and melancholy and joking and a little more relaxed, not so anxious. But once that six-pack was done, it's like, oh, my problems return. So get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's read Romans 5, verse 3. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. How about that? It tells us to get happy about it. We know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Lord, fill my heart with your love. John 15:5 literally says, Jesus, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Go for it, God. Then he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is all about relational fruit. Secret is, how are we going to get there? That love and that ability to love others because of the power of God will transform marriages, transform families, transform friendships, churches, and even whole communities. Very powerful, very powerful. Lord, help me to love people around me. Let's even just pray that. Let me lead you in that prayer. And would you join me there in your setting as well? We know that we can't do things without you, Almighty God. But we're going to ask you two things each day. Daily, oh Lord. We choose to love. We choose to love. Lord, when we get sucker punched into wanting to be angry, maybe even plot revenge, Lord, today we choose to love because you've asked us to. And secondly, Lord, we're going to start adding in our prayers. We daily confess our struggles. Our struggles may be with people, but our inability to handle the messiness of relationships around us. Lord, still transform our relationships. Help us, oh Lord. Help us. And for those who may be right now, even with us online, and you just know part of your journey to get out of the house is that you're afraid of facing people, been so injured. And now that injury's followed you right into the home, and there's chaos, there's confusion, people don't like you, you don't like them, and your own family you should love. And let's give Jesus a chance. And always go back the same way of doing things, but pour your life into God. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, surrendering your life, and you who are here, surrender your life to Christ right now. It's our only hope for society. Really is the only hope for civilization is Jesus. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Would you join me? Dear Jesus, I surrender all. Everything about me. You know of my failures. You know of my destructive nature. You know my selfishness. I confess my sins to you. Lord, help me be like you, to love others the way I know you love me. I give my life to you now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a great day. What a great way to begin our series. Man, now you can see messiness turning to manageability. We can do this. We really can. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648.
If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.